Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Well, it was wonderful having the baptismal service last week, and we've got one this week. So I'm preaching this morning about water baptism. I'm going to preach and tell you what it's all about. You may say, you know, well, I want you to really listen carefully to what I'm saying, because a lot of people don't really understand water baptism. I was water baptized in 1958. That most of you wasn't even around then. A few of you were, but most of you wasn't. That was a long time ago, isn't it? I was baptized then. But I remember when water baptism really took hold of me. I was baptized. I was a young man. But in the early 1980s, I was preaching in northern India. I was preaching in a part of northern India where there was opposition to Christianity, where a lot of people didn't know about Jesus. And we were preaching in the open air we had a big stage and big area, and about 15,000 Hindus were coming each night. We preached for a week. We got a lot of people making decisions for Jesus. And out of those, we baptized about 20 people who wanted to go through water baptism. And the missionary that we were with, he taught them all about water baptism. And then on a Monday, we went looking for water to baptize them. To cut a long story short, it took us about 3 hours to find appropriate water. And we found this river. Then we found out after that this river was a Hindu stronghold, but we didn't know that at the time. And so we started the water baptismal service. It was about 20 people. Out of those 20, I would say probably 15 of them were women. And it was a hot day. We were standing on the banks of this river. And the missionary that was conducting the service was going on and on and on. He preached for so long. And then he introduced them down into the water, and before they were baptized, he prayed for each one of them. And then when they were baptized, they came out of the water, and he prayed again for them. And then we sang something, then the next person came. And I'm not joking, that baptismal service would have taken close to 3 hours to baptize 20 people. And I think he saw my face, because I was getting tired, hot, and thinking, come on, we do it a lot faster than that in Australia. And he realized, and he came up to me and he says, John, you don't know what's happening here, do you? I said, yeah. So what about you? No. You don't know what's happening. These people that we're baptizing are Hindus, or were. Most of these are women. Because they've done this, because they've actually crossed the line to be baptized, because on the preaching nights, thousands made decisions. Thousands came forward for prayer, but these want to be baptized. He said, I'm going to tell you, most of these women, when they go home to their villages tonight, will not be allowed in. Their husbands will kick them out. They will be persecuted. He says, because they've crossed the line and have been baptized. Well, when he told me that, I tell you, I cried. I felt so guilty for, you know, thinking, why are we taking so much time over this? He says, we take the time because these women and these men have made a decision to follow Jesus Christ and turn their back on all the religions of the world and are just accepting Jesus. I learned a lot about water baptism. I don't know what happened to those women, because within a couple of days I was out of that place. So I don't know what happened. But I know that in the eyes of God, water baptism is very, very important. And I want to read a scripture to you from Romans chapter 6. And the Apostle Paul, in this chapter, is telling Christians to clean their act up. He's saying, if you're a Christian, act like one. That's virtue. I'm just putting this in a nutshell. We're going to just read a few verses. But he's virtually saying, if you're a Christian, act like one. Don't pretend to be a Christian and then go on doing things that are wrong. So he starts off by saying, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism. And that's the title of this message this morning. Buried with him, buried with Jesus through baptism. We're buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Now, before I tell you what water baptism is, let me tell you what it's not. Are you ready for this? Number one, water baptism is not something that saves you. You don't get baptized to get saved. I've met people who think they do. You get water baptized, they say, to be saved, because when you go through the waters, it cleanses you. Rubbish! Water cannot cleanse sin away. Water cannot, and I don't care what soap you put in, what perfumes you put in, what detergents you put in. You might say, I'm a wicked person, I need strong detergent in the water. Doesn't matter, won't make any difference at all. Sin is not washed away by water. So if you are baptized in water, it's not to wash your sin away. You got that? Water baptism is not for infants. You won't find anywhere in the Bible where they baptized babies and infants. Nowhere. People say baptism is to save you, so we have our children baptized so that until they come to the age of understanding, they'll be saved. Rubbish. That's not in the Bible. Nowhere. The only thing that Jesus did with children was a wonderful thing. He blessed them. The parents brought the babies to Jesus to have him bless them. And some denominations have taken that on, and they call it, you're actually giving your children to Jesus. It is a dedication service. Well, can I tell you? Rubbish. There's no, you can't dedicate your child to God. You can't dedicate your husband to God. Some of you wish you could, but you can't. You can't dedicate your parents to God. You can only dedicate yourself to God. You don't dedicate children to God. You have a service of thanksgiving. And that's what we do in this church, in many churches. Babies are bought for God to bless them. Amen? And Jesus blessed the children. And the disciples told the women to go away. And Jesus, stop. What you suffer the little children to come to me. Don't you forbid them. I want to bless them. So God wants to bless children, but you don't baptize children. You're only baptized when you're of the age of understanding and know what you're really going to do. This is so important, so, so important. Water baptism is symbolic of a burial. It's symbolic. It's not literal, but it is symbolic. There's water, and Jesus says you were buried, or Paul says you were buried with Jesus in baptism. Water baptism, in the original Greek word baptismo in Hebrew, it means to dip into. Don't mean to pour water on top. It means to dip into. You are actually immersed in the water, baptismo. You are dipped in the water right in, not a little bit of a sprinkling. Now, I have sprinkled people because they were physically ill and unwell and were not allowed by the doctor to go under the water. And that's okay. God understands that. But generally speaking, this is a symbolic action of going into the water. And the water, listen, represents a grave. It's much easier having it symbolical than literal. Would you agree with that? and having all dirt thrown all over you and then trying to dig you out again. No, but it is symbolic. Because Jesus went into the grave. Jesus literally died. They put him to death. When they took him off that cross, he was not alive. He was as dead can be. He was dead. And they put him in the grave. And something happened. On the third day, he walked out of that grave. He rose again from the dead. And he rose again, never to die again. Can you say amen to that? Amen. The Bible says the reason he died was for our sins. He died for our sin, so that we can die to sin. Let that sink in. Jesus died for your sins so that you can die to sin. If somebody is dead to something, nothing's happening. Is that right? Nothing. If something is dead, you can't communicate with it. You can't talk about it. It's dead. It's no life. Nothing. When you die to your sin, that's the end of it. Or should be. Should be. We know it not always is. We know that Jesus died to save us from our sin. But what does that actually mean? He died to save us from the punishment of sin. We're living in a strange day and age. Do you know that? In America, I think it's New York, I'm not 100% sure of that, there is what they call the doomsday clock. There's this clock that you can actually visit. And it's kept not by Christians, but by non-Christians. And it's called the doomsday clock. And the hands of the clock are right up to midnight. 50, 60 years ago, it was 5 minutes to midnight. But these people have looked at the world and said the world is in such a mess with the possibilities of outbreak of nuclear war in many different countries where people are at unrest, unease, where people don't know what the future is. America is in a mess. Come on. That is the leading free country in a mess. England is in a mess. Australia is in a mess. Europe is in a mess. Arab countries are in a mess. Asian countries are in a mess. The world is in a mess. Nobody knows the answer. And this doomsday clock that's not put about by Christians, but by people who are trying to observe what's happening in the world, they are so afraid, they've put it right up a second or two to midnight. They think this world is going to end. Because they don't see any answer to the problems of this world. And neither do I without God. I look at this world, and do you know what I... Being a student of history, I have learned that history teaches us one thing, and that is nothing. We don't learn from history, friends. We don't learn from past politics, from past philosophies, from past... We don't learn. We live in a world that no political leader has the answers to. We hope. We wish. We desire things to get better, but we can't make them get better. They're only getting worse. People are being killed in many different countries right now. It's not just one place or two places. It's not just the Ukraine and Israel and Palestine that's fighting. Many countries are. And each of those wars could escalate. And they don't know why. Why is the world in a mess? Why? Why is this world in such a mess that our prisons are overflowing, Our mental institutions are overflowing. There's so much anger out there, and there's so much stupidity out there. I never thought that I'd live to see a day and age where people can't tell you what a woman is. And afraid to. Politicians afraid to say what a woman is. Psychiatrists afraid to say what a woman is, lest the woke movement drags them down. I never thought I'd live to see a day and age like this. What do you think God thinks of that? Who made man and woman? God. There are men, there are women, and anybody that thinks or anything else has a mental problem. Go on, I've said it. Can I have a few amens there? Can I have it louder than that? It's not biological. It's mental. There's a problem in the world today. Why? We know that there are a lot of things in the world that we call, that people are attracted to and become addicted. Alcohol. People can become addicted to it. Some of you people here are addicted to certain things. Some of you are addicted to coffee. Come on. It's not doing you any harm, but it's some of you addicted to chocolate. Listen to the silence. It is a deafening silence. But I'm telling the truth, aren't I? It's an addiction. Most of you are addicted to sugar. In one form or another, in the drinks or the, come on, don't go quiet on me because I'm preaching good. Don't you do that. But there's addictions. People are addicted to alcohol. People are addicted to gambling. People are addicted to drugs, all kinds of drugs. Heroin, right the way down, all kinds of drugs people are addicted to. People are addicted to lust. People are addicted to money. People are addicted to sport. People are addicted to dancing. People are addicted to entertainment. I'm talking about addicted, where you can't get enough, where you've got to keep getting more. And if you don't have those things, something is wrong with you. That's an addiction. Well, I'm going to tell you what the greatest addiction in this world is, and it's the addiction that's caused all the other addictions. And it is the addiction that causes all the problems in the world. Now, what I'm going to say to you right now, most clinical psychiatrists will laugh at. They'd run me off this platform if they could, but I'm going to say it. It's a word that is very rarely used out there today, and yet it used to be used a lot, but today people don't use it. Are you ready? The world is in a mess because it is addicted to sin. I'm going to say that again. I don't think they heard me, Lord. The world is in a mess. It's almost midnight hour. Almost there because of sin. Sin is an addiction. We don't use a word today, but sin is that thing within us that keeps wanting to do things that are bad. Everybody in the world has done things they've regretted. Everybody. Everybody in the world has said things they wish they hadn't said. And maybe even some of you have done something this week that you wished you hadn't done. And I'm talking mainly to Christians here. Because we are addicted to sin. It is an addictive thing that we can't come to terms with. And yet I hear groups set up to help for addictions. In my son's church, there's a group there that helps with alcohol addiction. Another group that meets to help with drug addiction. There's all sorts of different helps, and you can go to clinical psychiatrists who will give you help for all sorts of addictions. But I've never heard anybody saying, I'm going to hold this special group for sin addiction. Have you? Well, there is one. And you're in it right now. Come on. It's called the church. And if the church is preaching the word of God, the church is preaching that you don't have to be addicted to sin anymore. You can be set free. You can die to your sin and live to Jesus. Hallelujah. That's what churches should be preaching, not the rubbish that some of them do. Some churches you go in, all you hear is motivational, how you can get richer, how you can be better, how you can get more. Come on. What we need is to get rid of that sin addiction so that we understand our God's great love and great mercy. In the light of that, this makes a bit of sense. Shall we say then, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. One translation says, God forbid, we're not going to do that. We died to sin, talking to Christians. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have new life. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Jesus has broken the power of sin's addiction. Do you know how he did that? He took it upon himself and he died on the cross. And when he went into the grave, he took the whole sin of the world with him. Your sin, my sin, your lies, your cheating, your nastiness, the things you say that are bad, he took them. You're swearing and cursing. And I, one thing that I've noticed, again, living in the world I'm living in, the filthy language that's used on television every single day. Children using the F word as if it's nothing. God help us. Jesus died to set us free from everything that stinks, that's vile, that's evil, that will hurt, that will pull down, that will drag down, that will maim. He died to save us from everything that would do that. He took your sin, my sin. He took your sorrow, my sorrow. He took our sins and our sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary. He suffered and died alone with your sin on him. God imputed, the Bible says, took your sin and put it on him. And he died. And they took him. And they put him in a grave, in a tomb, put a stone there. And the angels came and rolled that stone away. And Jesus walked out of that grave, leaving his grave clothes behind. Oh, he was dressed, because when he met Mary in the garden, she thought he was a gardener. He was dressed, but not with the grave clothes. God dressed him in the righteousness that he is. And that's what God does to us. When you get baptized, you're saying to God, I want to follow you, Jesus. I want to follow you. I want to get out of sin. I want to follow you. So listen, and I close with this. When you go into the water, it's like Jesus going into the tomb, into the grave. Now, Jesus stayed there 3 days. You won't stay in that water for 3 days. We'll bring you out straight away. But it's like you go in dead to sin. You come out alive. Now, it's symbolic, because the only people who should be baptized are people who are already saved. They are already believers. They've come to believe, so they have died and have been spiritually resurrected. But what is baptism about? It's about a testimony. And I realized that when I saw those men and women being baptized in northern India, and I realized they'd be going to persecution because they'd crossed the line. They'd be going to, some of them wouldn't get into their homes. It would be terrible for them, but they were prepared to cross the line with Jesus because he was persecuted. He suffered much for us. And if we suffer for him, hey, guess what? We got a wonderful reward in heaven. Pastor Pamela said a wonderful thing about wanting to live longer. fellowship at least twice a week. Well, let me tell you something. I'm going to live longer. I'm going to live for eternity. Yes. You're looking at a man now that's eternal. Take a good look. I might have a scarred face, but I'm eternal. Take a good look. You're looking at a man who in 1958 followed Jesus through the waters of baptism. I got saved in 1956, but I didn't get baptized till 58. I didn't know much. I couldn't understand much. But in 58, I followed Jesus through the waters of baptism as a testimony that I am a Christian. So I think Candice is being baptized this morning, and she's being baptized because she's a Christian. She was a sinner. She was addicted to sin, like I was, like you were. But she's followed Jesus, and she's had a resurrected life. Therefore, she's going to show you by that symbolic act. She knows that water doesn't wash away sin. The thing that washes away sin is the blood of Jesus Christ that he shed on the cross. He shed his blood, which was the giving of his life. When you shed blood, life is given, because life is in the blood, the Bible tells us. And he shed his blood to prove he died for us. But he ain't dead anymore. He's alive and well. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, we're going to have a water baptismal service. I wonder if there's anybody here who is a believer in Jesus, but you haven't followed him. You haven't actually done that. Well, you can. You can actually make a stand so that people will see you being baptized. Like we were watching those women in that river, northern India, being baptized and knowing what they'd got to go through. This is a symbolic act, but maybe you need to go through that symbolic act. Now, can water baptism save you? No. No, it's a symbolic act to show you're already saved. If you never get baptized in water, but you've received Jesus Christ in your heart, you'll go to heaven. The thief on the cross, do you remember? He didn't get baptized. But Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. Water baptism doesn't save you, but what it does do, I'll tell you what, it strengthens you. There's something about following Jesus through the waters of baptism, saying, I'm going to die. I'm going to die to this addiction of sin. I want to live in the righteousness of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I close with this last thought, and it's the last verse of Romans chapter 6, and it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. Why is there so much death in the world? Why is there so much destruction? You know, somebody was saying to me the other day, because a friend of mine had passed away, and this person said to me, oh, it was really good that they died a natural death. And I looked at this, what do you mean? Well, I mean, they didn't die from cancer. They didn't die from a heart disease. They died a natural death. And I looked at this person and says, what's a natural death? What is a natural death? Do you know that scientists do not understand death? They can't come to terms with death, because everything shouts out that we should be living. The body is there with all the organs working, when they call it a natural death, and the brain's working, but suddenly it's gone. Let me say this. Don't get upset with me if you're a doctor in here today. There's no such thing as a natural death. Death is not natural. The wages of sin is death. People die because of sin. They're in a sin-stricken world, and it's like a cancer that eats away at the spirit and soul. And just as we understand what cancers do physically, I've had a couple of cancers cut off my face, we understand what physical cancers can do. Hey, spiritual cancer, which is sin, eats away and eventually takes your life. The soul that sinneth, the Bible says, will surely die. So the wages of sin is death. people work for death. Come on. It's a wage they receive because they didn't come to God to get saved from their addiction of sin. And I close with this, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'm not going to die. That's why I said earlier, look, take a look at me. You're looking at an eternal being. I ain't going to die. My body may crumble and go, but this spirit of mine will live on for eternity. And one day, I'm going to have a new body without any skin cancers. Amen? Amen? Come on. One day, I'm going to be with him in eternity because I have eternal life now. And I can't emphasize more. Definitely, fellowship as much as you can. If we only have two services on a Sunday. I remember we used to have Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, and Sunday night. Sunday afternoon was Sunday school services. Then we used to have a Bible study. Then we used to have a prayer meeting. Then we used to have a youth meeting. It went on and on and on. Today, we've got two good services for you. Sunday morning and Wednesday. Come. Are you on the line? Come. Come to church. Come. Get life within you as the Word of God is expounded. And you don't only need to just hear the Word of God. You need the fellowship of believers. We need one another. We're a family. And you're part, you sitting listening to this, some of you got really good reasons for not being here. Some of you may be sick or on holiday. But others of you just didn't feel like coming this morning. Shame on you. You should be here. This is the best place you can be. If Jesus turns up today, you're going to be embarrassed. I'm serious. The church is living in a day and age when it's being affected by that world out there. Come on. The doomsday clock is almost finished ticking. Jesus is coming soon. I'm speaking as a Christian. I know this world's got no answer apart from Jesus. I know that. So if you've never been baptized and you're a Christian, why don't you see Pastor Pamela or Pastor John and Vicky and say, I want to be baptized. Listen, you can even be baptized today. You can go in with your clothes on. It's warm enough. You come outside, you'll be dry in 5 minutes. You can't get baptized in your jocks. No, you can with your clothes. Pastor Pamela, have you got any clothes for any spare clothes that somebody might want to put on? We've got a towel, but no, but you, yeah. Yeah. So if you would like to be baptized and you know you're a Christian, you know that you're following Jesus. Come on, I'm following Jesus. Well, I'm going to be baptized to let people know. This is going to be for me a testimony that Jesus is my Savior. Well, you can don't go home without being baptized. If you want to be, you can be. Most of you have, but some of you may not. Is anybody here that would like to be baptized that hasn't been? Anybody? Just put your hand. I want to see it. Come on. If you haven't been, you may all have been baptized for all I know, all of you. But if you haven't, get baptized. Something will happen to you spiritually. Something will happen to you wonderfully. Amen. Amen. Well, that's water baptism. Now you know what it's all about. Dying with Jesus, rising with him to a new life. God bless you all. Thank you.